Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept. Yes.
You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Blood Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
He's lying. It's not a deliberate lie. He just doesn't know any better. I am in San Diego at the studios of Catholic Answers. Wonderful place, good people. I don't see a picture of me anywhere. Oh, yeah, they got Carl Keating all over the place. Who's he? But me, nothing. Anyway, good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program Doctor is in. Let me give you the number real quick before I go through all of this bitness. 877-573-7825, 877-57, equal number to call to get on to the program. I'll tell you why in a little bit. First, some major thank yous. The Chaldean community, I've visited with them a couple times. They are warm, hospitable folks. Tuesday night, I spoke there. The food table was, well, it was a little frustrating because the place was only about 80 feet deep, and I think the food table was 95 feet. One of the things I had to do, I don't normally have to do this during talks, but every 8 minutes I had to stop. I say, did anybody want to get something to eat? Are you still hungry? It's kind of a land cruise, you know, we ate every 8 minutes. Chaldeans, warm, wonderful people. Then, last night, at St. Anne's in San Diego, I spoke to the young adults. Talk about warm, uplifting, beautiful, responsive. I'll tell you, you see a group like that. And yes, they may be a small sliver of our Catholic faith, but they have an outsized ability to raise your spirits. No question. Now, I'm figuring these are all young adults. They're not going to buy any books, right? So I had some books at the back of the table. Not only did they buy a bunch of books, but more than any other talk I've ever done. I've done 3,000 talks in my lifetime here. Of course, as old as I am, that's, what, 4 talks a year? No one has ever given me as much extra. In other words, they don't want the change back. Or they said, add $10 onto the square. Than that group. And their average age was probably somewhere between 20, 21 to 30, which was roughly the age of my belt. All right. Now, I asked them, please pay me in cash because my wife can't trace cash. She asks, did you sell any books in San Diego? I said, no, honey, those illiterates didn't buy a thing. Now, Friday night, Darren, where am I going to be Friday night? What'd you say it was?
Therese of Carmel.
Therese of Carmel, Friday night. I'm going to do the logic of being Catholic, right? That's what they want me to do. Why reason and evidence brought me back to the Catholic Church after an 8-year hiatus. Now, a couple of things here. Good Lord permitting, I know I'm doing a lot of self-promotion here. Sorry about that. Good Lord permitting, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, March 19, 2021, I will be in the northern part of the Cincinnati Diocese at Beaver Creek, 3 separate parishes. Going to be talking about marriage, about family, and about faith. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. Go to my website under the speaking schedule, and Josh's number is there. He knows all the details. He knows the parishes. He knows the times. We would absolutely love to have you. That AM 700 down there in Cincy, Sacred Heart, what a wonderful station. Been around for a long time. I think it's been around, I think, shortly after the Apostolic Age. I think that's when it started. Okay, so now, 877-573-7825. If you'd like to be on the program asking a question about something personal, something generic, a comment to help other people out. If you disagree with me, we put you straight to the front. There's no question about that. Straight to the front. If I can't give a reasonable explanation for why I'm thinking or offering the thoughts that I do, then I haven't really pondered them very well. So you're straight to the front. 877 57 equal. You'll get a hold of Eric Dumont. He's so pleasant. And then you run headlong into me. He sets you up, and you're all set to be soft and fluffy and sweet, and then you run into this psychological buzzsaw. 877-57-EQUAL. I call it the tyranny of the theory. Much of the stuff that the experts throw at you is not research-supported. It's theory. It's their opinion. Let me give you some examples of this. I was reading an article some years back. The very first paragraph, it was in a Parent magazine. Timeout is a humiliating experience. That's what this lady said. She had letters after her name. She was some professor somewhere. Humiliating experience. It's isolation. It's rejection. And it makes the child feel like he doesn't belong. Okay. That's her opinion. As far as I know, there's no research on that. Sitting in a chair because you did something wrong when you're 4 years old is going to make you feel like you don't belong to your family? See, she gets away with it because she's supposedly an expert. I'll give you another one. Spanking breeds aggressive children. No, it doesn't. Not in a loving, caring home done under control. It does not. But that's the theory. So they propose it, and because they're experts, automatically it's true. Here's another one. Making a child write sentences or making a child write an essay of apology will make them hate writing. There's no research support for that. None. Zero. But it's put forth as a proposal by someone who supposedly is smarter than we are. And therefore, you just go, oh, I never thought of that. Well, you know, you're an expert. You must know. That's a big one. Or this one. I've heard this one. Oh, man, I got this. I got this when my kids were in preschool. They said this. Don't make a child say, I'm sorry. Well, if he doesn't feel it, all he's doing is going through the motions. I'm sorry, we'll just force it upon him, and he won't want to say I'm sorry in the future because you jammed it on him. What, that's a theory? No research support for that. It's some expert's opinion. But you see what happens? Caller said Cincinnati. Oh, it's 7:40. That's right. Why did I say 7 a.m.? It is 7:40. Forgive the oversight. Bill, if you're listening, sorry about that. Sacred Heart is 7:40. Okay, now, I'm glad. I see I got at least one listener at Sacred Heart. It's a relative. It's my Aunt Clara. These kinds of things are everywhere. Things like if you don't let your child sleep in your bed and he only leaves when he wants to, that somehow, some way, you will reduce his capability for empathy when he's 31. Nice theory. Now, there are people who say there is research support for that, but you got to look at the quality of the supposed research. Do kids who are spanked a lot become more aggressive or more antisocial? Oh, yeah, there's surveys that say that a high percentage of the prison population has hit corporal punishment a lot when they were kids. The problem with that is that it was part of a bad parenting style, a bad moral upbringing, a fractured family life, a turbulent family existence, and oh yeah, swing first and ask questions later was in that mix. But what they do is they say, well, see, it's the spanking. No, it's the overall bad context with which most of these guys and ladies were raised. So, watch out for the tyranny of the theories. When somebody says something. Okay, I'll give you one more before I go. I was in a meeting, this was years ago, and we were assessing a young lady who was having a lot of troubles adjusting socially. There's a lot of that out there now. And this counselor type said, we are all aware that high standards from the parents breed rebellion. Now, I wanted to raise my hand and say, no, we aren't all aware of this. My inner child wanted to scream, but I controlled my inner child with my adult child, and I didn't. But she spouted it as though it were gospel. If you have high standards, your kids are going to resist them. They're going to go against them. Is that putting it on its head? For so much of parenting history, we said high standards is a good goal. Now it's a psychological reverberation that's going to hurt your kid. It's a theory. Now, if you have high standards without love and affection, I got that. But high standards in the context of love and affection, that's an unbeatable combination. Nevertheless, the theory says high standards equal rebellion. Here's another theory. Boy, I'm going to roll now. You homeschoolers, the theory is your children are not going to be socialized. That's a theory. Sounds good, doesn't it? What's the research? The research doesn't support that at all. Homeschool kids, in many respects, are better socialized than their peers because they're comfortable with a broad range of both adults and kids. And there's been a lot of research that talks about self-image, that talks about civic involvement, that talks about success in college, and the homeschoolers do very, very well. So, again, it's a theory. And because theories are proposed by people with letters after their names, the poor layperson goes, well, you know, I don't have letters after my names. All righty, 877-573-7825. I would love to hear from you. Give me a buzz.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
God gave this country specific gifts that we cannot suppress. You can't suppress it. People will respond and they will fight back. And this is exactly what happens when people pull together, regardless of their political persuasions, their religious beliefs, and many people involved, obviously, were and are Christians. But we pull together for the dignity of the human person overall to make a difference. Pope John Paul II said, when freedom does not have a purpose, when it does not wish to know anything about the rule of law engraved in the hearts of men and women, which is exactly what's been happening in this country, when it does not listen to the voice of conscience, it turns against humanity and society.
Catholic Connection, Teresa Tomeo, weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into a suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
And click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Can't be depressed with a string guitar. Right up there with a harmonica and a banjo. Can't be depressed. That's my theory anyway. I don't know if it has any research support. My theory also is that the men love the Three Stooges and the women don't. Theory. Good to have you with me. 877-57 equal Dr. Ray. Good Lord permitting, in a matter of hours, I will visit Catholic Answers Live. You know what we're going to talk about? Fathers, be more affectionate. It's easy to be affectionate with a 5-year-old. But what about a 15-year-old? Because they have conditions. They have terms. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't walk within 40 feet of me out in public. And certainly don't say I love you when I'm walking away with my friends. That ain't going to be my terms. And it never was. So we'll talk about how that is good, not only for you, for the relationship, but you know what? It's good for your kids. So don't let them set those terms. I'll do a monologue on that sometimes. Ann is calling from Massachusetts. There's a lot of people who can't pronounce Massachusetts. They can't pronounce aluminum. They can't pronounce, what's the name of that place in eastern Ohio, far eastern quarter? Ashtabula. Yeah, they can't pronounce that one either. Ann, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Hi. Ann, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do I have to be careful what I say?
You know what? I just surrendered to Jesus everything. I don't know what to do anymore.
How long have you been married?
15 years.
15. And you get hurt and angry easily because of what?
Well, a lot of different things. I feel like I'm not being loved or treated right, you know. I'm just giving you the simple answer.
Well, your husband doesn't agree, right? He doesn't agree. He thinks that you're too demanding of all this.
Yeah. And he's you know, I see him being right about it. I've been listening sometimes to you, to Dr. Pavchek, and he talks about the seven longings of the human heart that people cannot satisfy, you know, the longings that are for God, you know. I don't think I really have a distinction, it's my ignorance, you know. I don't have a deep.
Are you saying, Ann, that your husband is not attentive or close enough for your desire, or are you saying he isn't at all?
No, he is. He's very close. He's trying very hard. I mean, we're communicating. I mean, we're in our 60s and 70s, so it's just, I got married very late, and it'll be a long story to tell you the whole thing. I don't want to get into that. It's just that, we both try very hard. We pray together. We, go to church together. We go to, you know, mass together a lot.
And you've answered your own question.
Okay.
Your question really is, realistically speaking, my husband is very giving and attentive. However, for whatever the reason in my personality, I'm not satisfied with that.
That's the problem, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now...
I'm praying to... You know, go ahead, yeah.
According to you, you've got to work on yourself. You got to quit looking at him and saying he's not measuring up, because you just said he is. So,
well, not perfectly, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, if you use that as a standard, every guy listening, every girl listening is going to go, well, I fell short of that one. So what you're saying is not perfectly means not as much as I want.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, so if there is a gap...
Yeah.
Between what you would like from your husband and what is happening, then at this point, you might want to look at yourself and say, why am I doing this? And my guess would be, and you tell me how wrong I am, but my guess would be that you're pretty insecure in where you stand or in how you look at yourself. And so he's saying you need constant reassurance, and I can't keep up with the amount of reassurance that you need. Does that sound like what's happening?
I think a lot of it, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's easy. Well, it's not easy, but it's pretty straightforward, which is you got to look at yourself. Quit looking at him and saying he's falling short, because he gets frustrated.
Yeah.
He probably in so many words says, what do you want from me? He doesn't probably say it that nasty, but he's probably said that. So here's what you do. You tell him you are very giving, you're very loving. Because you admitted that. I'm not putting words in your mouth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work on myself to be content with our relationship rather than saying, I want more, I want more, I want more. because he probably is saying, I don't know what more you want. So at that point, for your own peace, Anne, for your own peace, you say, you know what, I've got to settle down my expectations here. Because if I don't, like you say, well, he's not perfect. Are you perfect? Okay, just a thought. Just an ask there, my dear.
I wish. So,
there's just my thoughts on that. So you tell him, I'm going to work on myself not getting frustrated when you don't always meet my expectations for what I want, because you are a very giving, loving man. That's what you said. And I want to recognize that and be content with it. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it so much. Alrighty. Yeah. See what we got here. Ethan. Ethan says, this is how a guy asks a question. He says, quite simply, how do I deal with my in-laws? There it is. There you have it. No specifics, nothing, just the generic, how do I deal with my in-laws? And then I, being a guy answering back, say, deal with them. All right, next question. Hi, Ethan, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dr. Ray?
Okay, buddy. Well, how are they difficult?
Well, it's now I know that a lot of people have worse in-laws than me, and I'm constantly reminded of that, but there are still a lot of frustrations. The primary one, I would say, is that they don't seem to be willing to treat my wife as an adult. Like, they don't see her still as an adult quite yet. And I'll see if this helps you a little bit, because I imagine this is a situation you've seen before. My wife is the one, she's an only child, and two, her parents were older when she was born. Her mom was 40 and her dad was in his 40s. So they were already almost old enough to be grandparents by the time my wife was actually born. And it's just, it's more annoyances than anything, but it also feels like they don't really have a lot of respect for us.
Yeah, you just switched. You said for us, because you were talking about how they treat your wife as still their child.
That's the other thing, is we have talked to them about it. Like, my wife and I have both, because they on occasion do, they're not as bad about it with me, but they do occasionally do the same thing with me, because my father-in-law is of the mindset that, like, that I married them too when I married her. But
does your wife agree with your perspective on the situation?
Yes. Yeah. She actually told me to call you.
Oh, all right. Well, this makes it a little more easy, because if you both agree that her parents tend to be, I think you didn't use the word intrusive, but that's probably a word you would use, isn't it?
I don't know that I would say intrusive. It's more
that
when
they're... Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Wait, disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr.
Here.
Ray.
Oh, man. All right. Give me the word, Ethan. It better not parallel intrusive. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't know exactly what word to use to describe it. More like situations that I'm thinking about is that when her parents are talking to her, like, they have always and still do refer to each other as mommy and daddy when talking to my wife. And my wife is, so my wife is going to be 25 on Sunday. So it's starting to make her really uncomfortable.
Okay. Stay there. I stay there. I got a little specific on that. Maybe the word is opinionated. Maybe the word is, I don't even have the word. So stay right there, Ethan. I'll be right back. This is Dr. Ray. talking to Ethan from Missouri, and he said a couple of things right at the end before we went to the break that really is helping me out, because it's going to make me sound like I know what I'm talking about. Ethan, you still there?
I am.
Okay. So you mentioned as one example that they still sort of babyfy, kidify their daughter, right?
Yes. I would say that that's probably the best word for it.
I knew I would find the right word, giving me enough time. Okay. Now, in this kidifying, do they intrude? Do they tell her how to run her life? Do they tell her what decisions to make? Or no, it's mostly just the way they talk to her.
It's mostly in just the way they talk to her, but it had been in, like, still trying to tell her how, it had been that, trying to tell her how to live her life and what decisions to make, but I did put my foot down with them, and they've backed off of that part of it. But the issue is that we have multiple times asked them to stop with, like, childifying or babyfying their language around her. And they said that they would, and then they never do. Or they say that they'll...
Well, you're not gonna like my suggestion.
I had a feeling.
And if your wife told you to call me, she may not like it either. You ready? Ready?
Yeah.
You might want to write this down, because this is pretty intricate, psychologically speaking.
I have a pen and paper.
So what? All right, so what?
All right.
I mean, if they do that, so what? What's the harm in it? You know, the only reason there's a harm in it is because your wife, and to some degree you, are saying, hey, we're grown up. We don't need to be talked to that way. We're adults now. So quit kiddifying us. That's really what bugs you about that. But in fact, it's just their manner of speaking. And since there's really no repercussions, they're not telling you how to live your life anymore. They're not intruding, which was my word, which I totally was wrong about. They're not intruding. They're just, it's a manner of maybe speaking style. And if you say, yeah, but that's how they think. I know they think that way. So what? So what? So they see mommy and daddy, and so they call her baby, or they call her... is it anything to get upset and frustrated about and actually risk that relationship between you guys and them? They're not answering.
You still there, Dr. Ray?
Yeah. Is it anything to risk that relationship just because they're doing the kind of kiddie talk?
Well, I should have mentioned this before. My wife and I do have a daughter, and one of my concerns is that my daughter is going to grow up seeing her grandparents.
Ah, Ethan, you're way overthinking this. No, 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 no. You're way overthinking this.
Okay.
You're basically saying this particular speaking pattern or thinking pattern of your in-laws in some way is going to shape how your daughter, your little daughter, thinks of relationships or something, baby Pfizer or whatever it does. Do you realize the bazillion interactions you have with your little daughter, you and your wife, with your love and all that you do to raise your little daughter? And so this far, far, far away personal style of your in-laws is going to have virtually no effect whatsoever on her makeup.
Okay, that's encouraging.
I knew if I talked to you long enough, I would find the reason why that bugs you and your wife so much. It's not that,
well, it
that they're just
me a
talking
lot
that way.
When, I'm sorry, it bugged me a lot from the start when we were first getting married, because my parents have never spoken to me that way, and I don't know any parents that, before that, I hadn't met any parents that had
spoken to me. Well, that's because you ain't Italian. That's because you ain't Italian. My brother was called the baby until he was, I think, 42 years old from my grandfather. So, given that, That's the reason, then, that bugs you. Because they're doing this, and you're thinking, somehow it's going to reverberate upon your daughter's makeup. I wouldn't worry about that for one nanosecond.
Okay.
Your little daughter is who she is, and she's growing up in a wonderful, loving home. And the fact that she's got grandparents who have a certain talking style isn't going to make her go, you know, I'm 19, and I just can't be independent. That ain't going to happen in my theoretical opinion. Ethan, thank you for a great call. I'll talk to you. I'll take this call before the break. Let me give you the number again, because down at the bottom of the hour we get another rush of calls. 877-573-7825. Maria. No, it's Sebastian. It's Sebastian from Maria, Florida. No, that ain't right. Maria from Sebastian, Florida. Hi, Maria.
Hello, Dr. Ray. It's a pleasure getting on your show.
Well, thank you. This is going to make you famous. You're a big star now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll sign your books with my name now.
good one.
I had to laugh when you told this last caller that he wasn't raised in an Italian family. My husband he's going to be 83 soon, and he has an uncle. His uncle is 95 years old, and when he calls him on the phone or he calls me, he says, hello, Teresa, is my nephew home? And I say, yes, so I put him on, and my husband's name is Richard, and he says, hi, Dickie. And so he calls him... He calls him that little kid name. Yes, little kid name. But the reason for my call is my husband's going to be 83 soon. We're married 60 years already. We're both Catholic. My husband is real faithful Catholic, so am I. But my husband was raised with that real rough and tough, sort of parenting. And he was really hard and tough on our kids. We raised three kids. And he always said to the kids, when you're 18, you have to be out of the house. And when we were talking about them going to college, he used to tell them, well, you better have $40,000 to go to college, because that's how much it's going to take you to go to school. And I used to tell him, don't scare the kids, you know. You're scaring them instead of building them up and giving them, you know, a base for self-worth and really thinking that they could go and be somebody. Well, that's, you know,
Maria, this is really good stuff, but you bumped up against the break. So stay there, and we'll find out that irksome thing that your husband does for 60 years, and you're still frustrating yourself over it. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. I'm speaking to you from the Catholic Answer Studio in San Diego, where there is no sun and there hasn't been for 3 days. Blue sky, 70 degrees. Ha! Well, I tell you what, that bass viol is playing the melody in the background. It's Dr. Ray, thanks for joining me. Before I go back to Maria, I just want to mention something. This morning I got up and I looked outside, and it's something I hadn't seen for a number of days here in San Diego. There's this big, I don't know, it looked like kind of a bright yellow ball. Reminded me of the old movie where the one character says, we're out of control. We're out of control, and we're heading to the sun. The other character says, the sun? What is it? It's a big fiery ball in the center of our solar system, but that's not important right now. For about 4 minutes, from 8:06 to 8:10, I saw it. I saw it here in San Diego. It's gone now. It's gone again, and the drizzle has returned. But I'll tell you what. Every time I'm in Southern California, it's brown. You look at the mountains and the hills, and that scrub brush and the cover on the hills is brown. It is as green as the Virginia mountains. unbelievably green out here. I've never seen it this green. Even the hills are all just covered in some kind of wild grass that's green. All right, anyway, that's enough. Maria is on the phone. She's been married 60 years, and she was starting to detail some of the ways that she and her husband disagreed about raising the children. But her question is, he never has ever been able to say, I'm sorry. And after 60 years, this still bugs Maria. Maria, you still there?
Oh, yes. It sure does bug me. But luckily,
when are you,
the kids
are when are you going to let it go? When are you going to let it go?
No, you know what? Because he still doesn't apologize even now to me.
Well, I know that.
When he is wrong.
I know that.
When
he never has.
Wrong.
But you,
he never has.
Why do you figure he why do you figure he doesn't?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You live with a guy for 60 years, and you're talking to me for 4 minutes, and I'm going to go, well, here, I got to figure it out, Maria. Well, I'll guess on it. I'll guess on it for you.
Okay.
To him, I'm sorry means a lot more than I made a mistake. It means I'm just so very wrong, and it's really hard for me to admit that I'm wrong because it shakes me up.
You hit the nail on the head, doctor.
Took me 4 minutes. 4 minutes?
Yes.
And you had 60 years.
Yes.
I'm going to give you something here.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you something I think that'll help you for the next 60. You ready?
Okay, sure.
I don't know your husband, but this is kind of a general observation that when somebody has a hard, hard time saying, I'm sorry, they don't have a whole lot of self-confidence about their decisions or their person. To say I'm sorry says I'm human. I have faults. I make mistakes. And some people just, to do that threatens the way they look at themselves. It just does. It threatens it too much, so they can't say it. So
okay.
In that sense, and I don't know your husband, so I'm not gonna step in that area, but in that sense, you know him. If you think that's him, he's always got to be right. And the thing of it is, he can't ever admit he's not right, and I just think he's insecure.
I think you're right. And I just accept it. My daughter calls me the lion tamer because I can cope. And we really are content with each other. We're
my dear, I'm going to let you go, but let me leave you with this.
Okay.
After 60 years, stuff should lose the power to bother you.
Okay.
You keep upsetting yourself, and you know why you upset yourself? Because you say, when is he going to change? When is he going to? It's been 60 years, and he still hasn't changed, and he knows how I've asked him, and he knows how I pleaded with him, and he knows how I feel about this, and he still won't change.
Oh, thank you so much.
All righty, my dear. You're welcome, honey. Bye. Mark that down, Andrew. 4 minutes. Assessing a 60-year situation. I don't know what percentage that is, but I think it's something like 0.0000002%. Liz from Texas. Hi, Liz. Yo, Liz.
Yes, hi.
There you go. You put the phone down because you figure, you know, this guy ain't coming to me. I'm going to go do some chores, and then I'll see if he if he comes to me. Tell me about your son.
Well, he's getting ready to graduate from grad school. So we were hoping that he would ask his girlfriend of 7 years to get married, which is wonderful that he did. But then
he didn't want to rush into anything. He didn't want to rush into anything.
He did that part all right. But then we get to hit her parents' house for the engagement party. And everybody seems to be talking about how they're going to live together. It's like, wait a minute, you said your engagement was for a year while you finish up everything that you need to do. We didn't say anything, but we got out of there going, okay, are we crazy or who's crazy? So we called him on it. We called him to come home to talk about it. And he says, well, I don't want any problems. I don't want to talk to you right now. Not going. And that's kind of been the situation that's been going on this whole week. And
he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You get the impression that he's going to do what he's going to do no matter what you say?
Yes, but we still have to, as his parents, we have to tell him that's wrong. And he's been doing the right thing for the last 7 years with her. Why mess it up this last year by living together before they get married?
Well, I don't want to burst your bubble, Liz, and I have no way of knowing. How do you know he's been doing the right thing for the last 7 years?
Well, at least he hasn't been living with her.
Well, right.
That we know.
That you know. That's right. You don't know anything else?
No. Well,
right.
Apparently not. Now we're doubting her.
Well, I can't say, and I don't know, but if somebody is saying we're going to move in together, I think it's a pretty safe bet that they've been physical prior to. If you say we got to tell him what he's doing is wrong, don't you think he knows you think that?
Yes, that's why he's been avoiding us.
Right. You raised him for all those years, and you raised him with your morals and beliefs that are linked to your Catholic faith. He was raised that way. So he knows that. He's fully, fully aware of that. So it sounds like he just doesn't want to hear it. So if you say, well, we have a duty to tell him what he's doing is wrong, well, then go ahead and tell him, but recognize that he's probably going to push back against you. Know that that's going to happen. If you think by telling him that, he's going to say, oh, wow, Mom, I didn't realize that. Okay, geez. Yeah, I guess you're right. That is wrong. Okay, we won't. Now, I suppose that's a possibility. Nothing's impossible, but how likely do you think it is?
Probably not, because she was, his girlfriend was the more subtle of, or, you know, not as rambunctious of the two, and she seems to be, I mean, and her parents, everybody seemed to be like completely, like we were the only ones that didn't apparently weren't.
I saw a statistic.
Wavelength.
I saw a statistic just recently. 87% of the people polled believe that premarital relations are perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's what it looked like in that room.
Right. That's pretty much it. And that's the reality here, Liz. That the reality is, with your deep commitment to our Lord's ways, and the research is totally supportive of you, living together before marriage is not a good way to start out a relationship to marriage. Research is definitely that. Now, if you want to tell him that, if you want to say, you understand, son, that everything points to the fact that when you live together before marriage, it makes it less likely this marriage is going to succeed. And you tell him, if you want to make this marriage succeed and to be a God-seeking couple, then you're better off, even according to the research, even if you don't agree with the morals. According to the research, look it up, son, you are lowering your chances of a successful marriage. That's what I'd tell him.
Okay.
All right, Liz. And do one more thing, Liz. I'm just reading in between the lines here. And last call, I was wrong. And I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row. So, I'm reading in between the lines here, my dear. You didn't say this, but you're thinking, where did we go wrong?
Yes.
I knew it. And listen, you didn't go wrong.
We always went to math. I mean, everything. You went to Catholic school.
You didn't go wrong. You didn't go wrong. You're witnessing the power of a moral-less culture. It's everywhere. And you hope at some point that if and when your son does marry her, that they come around to seeing the beauty of the faith, and he recognizes that what his parents raised him with is the way to live and what to believe. That happens a lot, by the way, and especially kids. Kids tend to move people back toward the traditional way they were raised. So please, do not beat yourself up. Stop that! You will be doing it for no good reason. God bless you, Liz. This is Dr. Ray. Pass break.
Saints are the heroes of the Catholic faith. They serve as examples for all Catholics, showing us how to lead a more satisfying, more spiritual life in communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. View our comprehensive documentation of saints who serve as theologians and doctors of the Church. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Music is so cool. It is so, like, musical. You know, it's like nature. Nature is so natural. Music is so lyrical. Jean is saying, show me. She's calling from Missouri. Hi, Jean. Makes me feel clean just saying it. Hi, Jean.
Hey, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Who's beating you up?
Well, my sister has been violent with me.
Yikes.
And we are in our late 40s.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And she's my only sibling. Last July, we were visiting our parents. Both of our families were visiting our parents, so we had a house full of people. She didn't appreciate me asking her to put her dog away, who was barking and growling at my adult son. And I don't know, she lost her mind and screamed at me and then eventually started hitting me. And I had bruises for several weeks.
Jeez, did somebody stop her?
Well, eventually, my mother, who is almost 80, did get in between us, which is
where's
not
the
a good
guys?
Idea.
Where's the guys right. in this group? Would they all just sit there?
Well, eventually my husband did get up and...
eventually your husband got up after she shot you about four times, right?
Yeah,
wow.
Pretty much. And my family ended up leaving and staying the night at a hotel, and we haven't
Yow.
Seen each other since.
Poo-wee.
We're not. We have some contact via text, but I have not spoken to her on the phone, and she has not
Well, something
ever...
tells me this ain't a relationship that's been smooth anyway, right?
Well... We're very close in age, and so she has always been jealous. And I get the impression that she thinks that because I hit her as a child, you know, not knowing what I was
doing. Making up for lost time, huh? Balancing
the
scale.
Yeah, like, is it somehow okay that she hits me too now?
Wow.
I don't know exactly.
I guess, all right, couple of things. One, I'm going to run out of time, so I'll ask you to call me back.
Okay.
One, you got to figure she's easily provoked. Your sister's had a style of don't tell me, and then she can just erupt for no reason. And probably she thought you were embarrassing her when you told her to put her dog away in front of everybody. How dare you? And so she went nuts on you. I think that's probably what spurred it. One. Two, if you know this is a possibility, then you're probably right. Keeping some distance, a safe distance, emotionally and socially, yeah, you can be pleasant to her, but you better just talk about the weather, because anything else runs the risk of setting her off. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, for information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.